I think that what we may start seeing is the system they have in Europe, where you're starting to see consortiums. Like here in the U.S., if you want to use a supermarket card, it just works for that one supermarket. But in Europe, they're getting consortiums. So you can get like a Metro Future store card that is your supermarket card linked up with your Lufthansa Airlines, linked up with a sporting goods store, linked up with a florist. So it's good at all those different places. But you'll notice that they don't compete with each other. That's probably the model, the sort of consortium model that we'll probably see initially. But ultimately, it would be a system where when you scan your driver's license or your national ID card or whatever your consolidated smart card is, you would simply be transmitting a number about yourself. And then you would link that up through whatever technology they have at the point of sale to make the sales decisions. I think the way it's going to happen, George, is probably through our cell phones first. Because the retailers would like to be able to ID us specifically instead of having us walk in and pay cash and everybody get the same price. They'd like to have your cell phone sort of function as an RFID reader and an RFID tag, and you would use your cell phone to even get into the store. In fact, we found a patent, which we detail in Spy Chip's Threat, our Christian book. Sensormatic, the company that does all the doorway portals for security that set off the alarm if you haven't deactivated your whatever you bought, those guys control the doorway portals going out of but also into the stores. And they ultimately would like to be able to block entrance to anyone going into the store who has not already pre-registered all of their personal information with the retailer. So the door wouldn't even open for you unless you had your little... Yeah, no, I'm not kidding you. Unless you had your little George Norrie cell phone that said, hey, I'm George Norrie, here's my credit record, here's a history of everything I ever bought at your store. And from that, you can determine that I'm the kind of person who can afford to pay higher prices or the kind of person who, you know, whatever, they set your individual pricing. And they actually talk about when you walk around the store, you'll see something you like. You go, wow, that's a nice, you know, shirt, whatever. You'll point your phone at it. It will do an instant calculation and say, well, for George Norrie, this shirt is, you know, $75.
They're not going to gouge me, are they?
Well, you know, it's funny because you would think that the people with the higher income would get charged the higher prices. But as we detail in our books, they've got the opposite plan. What the retailers would like to do is identify. They've done this thing called customer segmentation.
Well, wait a minute. You're assuming I'm getting the higher income.
Well.
Another bad assumption on your part, Catherine.
Well, what they want to do is see profitability. It's not even about income.
I'm on at nights, not during the daytime.
Well, I can tell you, as the author of books, I empathize. But the idea here is to identify the people who are not profitable and gouge them. And one way they want to do this, they define these people at the lower third of the profitability scale as barnacles or bottom feeders. Barnacles, like they want to scrape you off.
Barnacles? Yes. They refer to people as barnacles?
We got a quote right there in Spy Chips, believe it or not. Yep.
Unbelievable.
And they say, we want to scrape the barnacles off the hull, basically. These not profitable shoppers. Why should we waste a shopping cart, a checker's time, and have them breathing our air and cluttering up our store when we could have really profitable shoppers in here? So the reason they want to have you all RFID tagged and ID'd from the moment you walk in the door, and the reason they want you ID'd in order to even receive a price, to even know what something costs, is so that those quote-unquote bottom feeders can be charged higher prices to be forced to pull their weight. And they actually say, we've got a quote in Spy Chips where they say, we want to charge these people higher prices and offer them poor service as a way to discourage them from doing business in our store. And ultimately, that kind of discouragement could be made very direct and visceral by the fact that the door will not even unlock, that you will not even be able to get through that doorway unless you've pre-registered and they've approved you as the kind of shopper they want in their store.
Well, what if he waits for someone to come through and then he rushes in with them?
Well, you won't be able to buy anything because the way Sensormatic describes this store of the future, it has no employees. And it has surveillance equipment that is monitoring your every move.
A few employees. Got to have some stock people there. Right?
Well, they even say, they'd have to have somebody physically putting the items on the shelf, one would hope. I mean, maybe they'll make that automated, too. Who knows?
They'll probably just have a store full of security.
Well, they even say, the security cameras are really sophisticated now. They can follow individuals for their entire shopping trip and seamlessly hand off their image from camera to camera. But they also talk about, what if you go in there and you've got a guest with you, or you've got your teenage daughter with you, whoever it might be. They want that individual to be registered at the doorway as well. So it's not like the door's going to unlock and people can just rush in a crowd. They want each individual person to be registered, monitored, watched, observed, followed at every step of their shopping trip. And when they want to know what something costs, they will get a different price from the other person.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, the idea, this goes all the way through to the point where you check out of the store. So now you've got your cell phone. You wouldn't even have to check out. You'd point your cell phone at the shirt. It would say, hey, for you, George, this is, $79. You want to buy it? You click yes, and voila, they've made an instant deduction from whatever account you've set it up with. And
that's
now you just
crazy.
Walk out of the store with these items in your hand. And because they're RFID tagged, remember that IBM ad where the guy's like stuffing in his overcoat?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, that's their vision. You would walk out of the store, and anything you haven't actually said you approve purchasing, they'll just automatically rack it up to your account. No humans needed. Every step monitored. Every item that you've bought goes straight to the marketers, goes right into their databases instantaneously. Now as you walk down the street, they know you like $79 shirts, and now they start running ads and the little interactive billboards for accessories. They've got it all mapped out.
That's one way to avoid internal theft in these stores, at least.
Well, that Sensormatic is the big theft prevention specialist. So they are that's part of their vision. It's a marketing vision. It's an anti-theft vision, and it's a customer segmentation profit maximization vision. And unfortunately, it works great for the retailers, but it works really, really badly if you are the customer in the store. If you're at the bottom end, they want to, like I said, offer you poor service and higher prices.
If you're a barnacle, right?
But if you're a barnacle, right. If you're at the top, though, it's kind of even worse for you. Because even though you may get offered special perks and discounts, your data is the gold that they want to mine. You are the diamond in the mine, and everybody and his brother wants your personal information. So you are even more watched than the guy at the bottom because your data is very valuable and it can be sold. So the consumer doesn't win on any end of this equation, and the retailer and the marketers win all the way across the board.
How do you envision, assuming none of this gets stopped, how do you envision the next 20 years?
Oh, well, it's always dangerous to put a timeline on this kind of thing, but I can tell you there are some very definite writing on the wall here. And, one way I look at it, George, it's like if you're on a train and the train is going in a certain direction, and you're not quite at your destination yet, but every stop you get, you can draw the line and you can see, boy, if we keep going this way, we're going to wind up in Washington, D.C., hell, wherever it is, you're going to see that line.
We're
headed stop after stop after stop, RFID implementation after RFID implementation. We are headed to a world where everything we own, everything we do, every morsel of food we eat will be controlled. And here's the kicker. You asked in the first segment, why should I care if I live in the city? Why should I care that they're registering animals out on farms in the country if I'm living in Brooklyn? What difference does it make to me? Well, when you start talking about this kind of government control, in the back of everybody's mind, at least everybody I've talked to, is this kind of idea, if it gets bad enough, fill in the rest of the sentence here. If it gets bad enough, I'll just go off into the country, right?
Everybody
thinks? If the city goes crazy.
You can't hide anywhere.
Yeah. So this idea that we have, and I think it's a particularly American concept because of our whole frontier history, the kind of go west, the sort of uncharted territory, there's always somewhere I can go to get away from the man if the man gets too oppressive. Well, what this is doing, it's closing off entirely those options. You won't be able to go on a farm and raise your own food because they're going to be watching you from that GPS satellite and making you monitor every chicken and every egg that hatches. You won't be able to go out in the wilderness because they're tagging those animals too, and they want to stop poaching, hunting, etc. There's going to be nowhere for you to go.